So it is our diamond anniversary, number 75.
And diamonds are forever.
And a girl's best friend.
And the girl's best friend. And there's a baseball diamond.
Ooh.
It's the perfect anniversary, John. It's our perfect anniversary. I love you so much. Should have gone to Jared.
That's so good. And I love you too. Mwah, mwah.
Welcome to the grossest episode of Valid Territory.
Episode 75. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Barry Zito edition of Foul Territory.
One of the great contracts in the history of baseball.
And I was looking at his statistics, and to get the contract that he got for what he did after really only two decent, well, Cy Young season, obviously, but he didn't get that contract until 5 years after that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. He had a mediocre run after his Cy Young season, and then he went 16-10, and they bought on that, and awful. Just mediocre numbers overall.
And somehow managed to win a couple of World Series with him.
And he did that one year. He did well. Yeah. He was kind of like clutch down the stretch and in the playoffs, delivered a couple of wins and came out of the bullpen a few times. Congratulations, Barry.
I mean, one of the really nice guys, though, right?
Yeah, he's like, great.
So it's hard to get too bent out of shape, but I think everyone knew that was going to be a bad contract, and it was like, yeah, look, hey.
He's kind of like the stereotypical California beach stoner dude.
Yeah. Well, the Giants are really going to regret this contract. I mean, except for all the World Series that they won.
Right, right. So they're not complaining too much. He redeemed himself in that one season. So
He did. He did. It's a little bit like J.D. Drew with the Red Sox, who was like, woof. I don't know if this is going to work out with all the injuries, but then he hit that one Grand Slam home run in the playoffs against the Indians, and it helped them win the World Series in 2007. Is that what it was, 2007?
Yeah.
So it was like, well, okay, $54 million well spent.
But then again, they played the ran out of gas Rockies in 2007. So that was a cakewalk sweep.
Yeah, but they to get there,
they had to
they
beat
were
the
down
Indians.
3-1 to the Indians, and they got there. Thanks to J.D. Drew.
Very nice. So you want to get into this week's headlines?
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. Hey, one thing I want to mention before we do that. You know, at the end of the show, we do a thing called Coming Up Next.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing I noticed. I was looking at the analytics with Randall Stevens, the website analytics, and it looks like half the people that listen to the show don't listen to the end.
Oh.
They're missing out on the Coming Up Next.
Yeah, it's a highlight.
It's a highlight. And they put up with everything else that we jibber-jabber on this show. Of course, I understand, like, you get halfway through and you're just like, all right, I have to, I can't take this anymore. I get it. All right? But skip to the end, man.
Yeah, fast forward.
I don't know if we would be able to tell if they skipped to the end. Because it would just be.
But does that mean we should do 30-minute podcasts?
No, I think it just means that, you know, for the duration here, we're going to be insufferable to some people. They're going to still listen because the numbers are going up. We're back up to triple digits.
Nice.
I'm proud to say back up to triple digits. But I can understand, like, at a certain point, enough's enough. Like, you know what? We were talking about poetry last week. I don't know if people really want to talk about poetry.
But that's the end stuff part.
We have to do that.
So here's what we can do. We can ask all of you listeners who are still tuned in, we're only 4.5 minutes in, to share this with your friends, like us on all the different formats that we're on iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud and all the other places that you can find us. Give us a thumbs up, give us a rating, give us some love, and tell your friends and family who are baseball fans. And you never know, your great-great-grandmother could be a huge fan of the show. Tell her to tell everybody in the home.
I love this plan, John. Have we discussed this with our listeners before, that they can actually help spread the good word instead of us doing all the work ourselves?
Right.
Hello.
Right.
This is an interactive experience. We talk, you listen, you promote us, you go out there, hit the streets. You're our street team.
Yeah.
Get out there.
Yeah, tell everybody. When you find something.
Stop what you're doing right now. Quit your job. This becomes the most important thing. John moved to Mexico for you people.
Yeah, help us out. Send us some more listeners and ask them to do the same. And before you know it, we're going to be huge.
Have any podcast hosts moved as much as we have?
I don't think so. You started in New York, and then we're in LA, and then back in New York.
Have any podcast hosts insufferably talked about their moving as much as we have?
They have not. We have.
I think we're the league leaders, John. If there's a category, a podcast category, for minutes spent jibber-jabbering about moving, we got to be in the top five.
Our listeners are going like, okay, if you guys don't move on to baseball, we're ditching now.
Well, let's talk about some headlines.
Okay, Mike Scioscia, big news.
Yeah.
Announced that he will retire. Is he really going to retire, or is he just leaving the Angels? That's the big
question.
This
is the first time he's pulled this one. He's saying he's going to retire. Like, where else is he going to go? Like, if he wants to keep managing, he can just keep managing the best player in baseball and one of the most exciting players in baseball with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. Like, why would you want to go somewhere else except for the fact that, man, this team just can't get away from the injury bug. So I don't really think that's the team's fault or Socia's fault or, I mean, they swept the Tigers just recently.
Yeah. Maybe they can go on an Oakland A's-like run and get back into the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the Mariners have kind of fallen apart. And amazing that just a month ago we were saying that it's the American League is all wrapped up. We know who's going to be in the playoffs, and they've imploded. And all the moves Dylan Jerry DePoto made haven't really panned out to be
What's his name's coming back? Cano's coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's just about injuries, right? Like, the Mariners just keep getting injured. The Angels are is ridiculous. They had Tropiano came up. He pitched five beautiful innings of one-hit ball against the Tigers. Again, it's an asterisk against the Tigers. However, there's beautiful back on the disabled list with shoulder inflammation.
And
catch a break.
And for the Mariners.
Or catching all the breaks.
Yeah, Felix Hernandez had the worst start of his career and got pelted, kept him in there for six long innings and gave up 11 runs, seven earned.
Wow.
So now, as a result of that, he may miss his next start in the rotation.
Yeah, but what do you do with King Felix? You can't.
You can't relegate
you can't
him
make
to the
him
bullpen.
A reliever. Yeah. You can't send him to the minor leagues. Maybe you just put him on the disabled list and just say he's. His pitching is broken.
And that happens every once in a while. It
does.
So but maybe he needs to just some time to clear his head. But,
yeah.
You know, when he's like, you know, we've talked about this before, the difference between his fastball when it was at its peak, which was around 93, 94, and his off-speed stuff, which was in the, like, 86, 87. But when your fastball is now 90, 91, and your off-speed stuff is still 86, 87, there's no difference between the two.
Yeah. So. It's weird, too, right? Like, you would think that the changeup would slow down also, but somehow the changeup hasn't slowed down. Like, hold the ball differently or something. Yeah. I don't know. You know what? Here's what we really need. Just get him some steroids.
Or get him over to the Astros.
Shouldn't there be some sort of, like, grandfather clause for people who grew up in the steroid era to be able to, like, just use a little steroids?
Yeah, why not?
And this is King Felix. It's embarrassing.
And he's only 32.
He's 32.
It's not like we're talking about some 37-year-old.
This is not Bartolo Colon. No. Bartolo Colon was able to use steroids.
Bartolo Colon has been pitching 13 years longer than Felix Hernandez.
And more
crazy.
Effectively.
Right. They have to, I think they both have the same record or close to it.
Well, they certainly have very similar waistlines. I don't think it's been helping Felix Hernandez that he's been enjoying the good life.
No, he's still pretty svelte. Slender man. He's a slender man.
He's no Bartolo Colon.
A little teaser.
He's no Bartolo Colon.
No. Nobody is.
Well, there's Prince Fielder. And there's
but Bartolo does not look like he gives a rip about going to the gym.
Right.
At least Prince Fielder, you know, worked out.
That's because he uses steroids.
He had that process, that injected platelet thing, didn't he?
Right.
Didn't he fly over to Europe?
Rich injections. Yeah.
That's his thing.
The German thing.
And now he's saying, you know, we're bouncing all over our timeline here, but he's saying that he wants to continue breaking records. He broke another one recently, becoming the winningest Latin American pitcher. And now he says he wants to beat Juan Marichal's innings pitch record, which would mean he'd have to pitch again next season.
I mean, that is the most prestigious record in baseball.
The innings pitched. But he want, I mean, he's looking for something to keep him going, I think. But that's good. It's good to have goals.
Besides Krispy Kreme, you mean.
Right. Right. That meme that you posted on a baseball meme site of him was fantastic.
Yeah.
A reason to keep away from the DH. Letting pitchers hit is Bartolo. Just to see the majestic swing.
Yeah, some pitchers, when they're up there, they just swing bad and
look foolish.
You know, it's a waste. Look foolish and, you know, strike out or bunt out or ground out or pop up. And then there's Madison Bumgarner and Bartolo Colon.
Mm-hmm.
These are the two guys who are the argument for no DH. Let the pitchers hit because we get to see Bartolo Colon. And we're here, we are talking about a visual thing, which is great podcasting. Hey, did you see that inside the park home run by Cesar Hernandez? Yeah, it was a little league home run off of a bunt. Yeah, and then he was running really fast, and then the other players threw it away, and it doesn't really work, does it?
Unless we have to start out with the old Hollywood thing. Picture this, and then just kind of walk them through it.
In a world. What were we talking about? Oh, right.
Yeah.
So, it was a great little video that MLB released, and it was basically Bartolo Colon getting hits and also getting lots of misses.
Right. His plate. Jelly belly slow motion swings.
Those pretty
are
nice. Great.
Those are awesome. So how about the Red Sox? First team to 80 wins, extending their lead over the Yankees to 9 games.
Yeah.
Foregone conclusion that this one's done?
I mean, I think that the division's tied up. Like, I think this team is just, I haven't seen anything like this in maybe 20 years. Maybe the 98 Yankees that won 100 and whatever games. Yeah. Like, this is just ridiculous. They just beat everybody. They just roll through them. Like, they were down to the Blue Jays the other day by, like, 3 runs, and I went away from the game and came back, and they were up by 3 runs, like, or up by 2, and then they tied the game, and then, oh, okay, well, we'll just score 5 in the top of the 10th. Put this thing away.
They have to be averaging the most runs scored per game, I would assume.
Yeah, they are the highest scoring team in the league. Yeah,
because they're it seems like every score of their games is a softball score. They seem to have a lot of double-digit runs scored games.
I mean, they just keep coming at you, you know? And, like, if this is, like, with the not fully healthy team. Devers just came back last night, hit a home run, of course.
Yeah. And I found out too that when you see that someone's coming back, if it's that day, ESPN will not allow you to activate them until the next day. So I tried to activate them for that game, and I could not activate them. I'm like, what?
Yes, ESPN is one of the few fantasy baseball sites where once the games have started for the day.
No, the games hadn't started. It was yesterday morning. I couldn't activate them. It was the same day.
They will let you. I'm just saying human error in that case, John, because I have been able to activate same day. As soon as the games start, remember the game started at noon Eastern time yesterday.
Oh, maybe.
Right? They had that early Mets game. So
could be why.
It may have been you were in there like at 11:15 Central time.
Yeah, it might have been.
And so, again, what they do is they freeze the lineup. You can't pull guys off that, which is totally
No, I understand
stupid.
That. Like, I didn't realize there was a game had already started, so that's probably why. So what else we got here? Oh, the A's? A's are taking this
hey,
run.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Speaking of fantasy baseball, and since we don't really have a lot to talk about here, I got a trade offer in my the league that you and I are not in, with Andrew Benintendi and Jock Peterson for Juan Soto.
Ooh.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Juan Soto, I have for $1.
Oh no, then no brainer. You don't move that.
And then Benintendi's like $15, and Peterson's like $3.
No, you got that you have him pretty much locked for five years. I wouldn't move that.
Maybe even longer, right? Yeah. Like $1. Yeah. That means next year at the most,
two.
Well,
two, then
it'll
then
be
seven,
three. It's a two-year
then,
raise. Oh, two it's year. A two-year okay. raise, yeah.
Yeah, so he's not going to be peaking out for 7-8 years.
He's 19 years old.
Yeah. Well,
anyway,
allegedly.
I'm going to reject the trade. This guy was offering, at one point, he was offering me Luis Severino, Benintendi, Jock Peterson, and Jesus Luzardo, which is all like, you know, that's like really great talent. But then for Juan Soto and Eloy Jimenez. But I have Eloy Jimenez for $3.
No.
So it's like Juan Soto for $1, Eloy Jimenez for $3. See, I just want to keep these guys.
Yeah, you keep those two guys. Because, will Benintendi be in 2 years a $25 player?
I mean, probably. I mean, that swing is gorgeous.
But his drop-off is going to be after that.
Well, that's sort of, I think that's sort of the value problem with him is that this is the league that this is in is not in a stolen bases league. Oh, it's in a points league. So it's like where you get the points. Mm-hmm. Anyway, no one cares about our fantasy league, but I just wanted to air it out because I just thought of it. So what else is there?
We're the A's. Right. They're taking this stuff seriously. This run is it's legit. They're adding pieces, and I think they remind me a lot of the late 90s, early 2000, the early 2000 A's when the Zito and what's the other guy's name?
Hudson
and it starts with an M.
Madrigal?
No, the three guys that they had, the three pitchers. Not that this team is pitching dominant, but they've got a lot of young good bats, developing bats, but that is keeping them in these games.
So they have those home run on base percentage bats that all have low batting averages.
Yeah, they're like the little engine that could, and it just keeps going and going. And despite everything, Bean works wonders with this type of a team too. You know, he's able to put all the little pieces together, and the guy deserves a ton of credit for delivering a quality team in a small market. But they acquired Mike Fiers from the Tigers.
Right.
And they're strengthening up. They're taking this run seriously. It's going to be interesting to see. I think they play the Mariners for like 3 or 4 more times.
Yeah.
It's really going to come down to those two teams playing each other at the end of the day.
Yeah, the Fiers deal was interesting because, A, it comes after the trade deadline. So that means he had to clear waivers and cleared through everyone up to the Athletics. It's a little surprising, I guess. But they had tried to make this trade before the deadline and just couldn't agree completely on the terms. I think it was something like Oakland actually wanted to pay more money and give a lesser prospect for it. I didn't see who they wound up trading away from, but I imagine it wasn't much because Fiers is solid, but he's just kind of like a third or fourth starter. A little underrated, though. Like, he came in and almost no-hit the Dodgers for 5 innings until he gave up.
But when he was with the Astros, he was much better because obviously, you know, his spin rate was much improved when he was with the Astros.
Well, he was good with the Brewers, and then when he went to the Astros, he did improve, as some pitchers have seemed to just coincidentally.
I anticipate a Felix Hernandez trade to the Astros within the next 2 seasons.
Wouldn't that be great, though, if that could fix him? Like, maybe he should just call the Astros and be like, hey, guys, help me out.
Yeah, off season. I need some tips.
Not off season. Just do it now. Yeah. Or just hack into the computer.
Right.
Like that guy. Get that Cardinals guy. He's probably unemployed right now.
Right. You could probably do it.
I could probably do it. Oh, no, he's in jail, right? They sent him to jail for that? I thought that was a little weird.
Yeah, that was strange.
I mean, technically, there are laws and stuff, but
we talked a little bit about the Juan Soto. Kind of hinted at that one. Apparently, one of the Braves broadcasters made a comment that, you know, he's awfully surmising here that he's awfully old looking for a 19-year-old type of comment. And Rizzo got all juiced and pulled. I think it's Joe Simpson. I think was the announcer and pulled him aside and said, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" And he apologized.
Yeah.
Is that a big...
It's weird, too, coming from the Braves broadcaster. Like, this team has all 20-year-olds on it.
Right. The young team.
It's like a spring break team.
They're starting to fade a little bit, although, no, they did beat the split with the Nationals yesterday. But I think... I cannot believe that the Phillies could win that division. That just is baffling to me.
Here's the thing, John. The Nationals could still win that division.
Right. As mediocre as they've been, they're still putzing along, hovering around 500.
Yeah.
And they're still within easily striking distance. And again, they're going to play those three teams are going to play each other four or five more times, you know, and that's what it's going to come down to. So maybe that was the Nationals' plan all along. That we don't have to really amp it up. Like
Trade off some of their assets, give a false sense of security.
Yeah, like in the NBA, it doesn't really matter until the postseason. And I think, you know, like really the way that baseball is set up with the schedule, it's awesome that the month of September is mostly playing teams within your division because that really is when the playoffs start.
Yeah, see, I don't like that. I would much rather have a balanced schedule where everyone plays every team in the league the same amount.
Yeah. Instead of
the National League or the American League, I think that should be, but like all the weighted in the division, I'm not a big fan of that because it just gets a little exhausting. Like, who cares? Of course, then you know I don't have to, the Dodgers playing the Diamondbacks like, for the 18th time. Do I really need to see that? I mean, it's not like I really care about the Dodgers playing the Brewers for a 9th time, but I don't know.
Speaking of beefs, Jason Wirth, a little upset with Scott Boras.
Yeah, now this is one of the weirdest stories I've ever heard.
Do you not talk to your agent? How does this even happen?
Well, first of all, agents are the worst human beings on the planet. Like, don't ever let anything you ever hear make you think otherwise. They are the worst people on the planet. Secondly, Jason Worth's agent just happened to be the one that got him that huge mega contract that no one thought he would ever get.
Right. It was like $150 million
more than what people thought he was going to get that year. $50 million. And now he's like, oh, well, I don't think my agent talked to the other teams and told him I wanted to play. I wound up playing for this minor league team and being terrible. Okay, first of all, the way you get teams interested in having you on their team is by playing well, Jason Worth.
Not being injured and playing well.
Look, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to break this news right here. No teams express any interest in signing me either. Because I'm bad at professional baseball.
Right. When you're bad,
Jason Worth, welcome to the club, sir. My softball league down the street has some openings if you're interested.
Yeah, maybe he can team up with Billy Butler.
Exactly.
Do a road show.
Why not?
That would be fun.
I would watch that.
Yeah, it would be like the senior circuit. Didn't they try to do that like 15, 20 years ago, like a senior baseball league?
Yeah, but what we need is we need it to be on like true TV, and it needs to be like baseball, former baseball players playing in softball leagues.
Right.
And then doing other things that like doing a car wash to raise money.
Yard work.
Yeah. I don't know how you make it a show that everyone wants to keep watching because it's basically the same show every episode.
But that would be kind of fun to follow, a Billy Butler, because he is a card, a character.
You'd need cards, right? Yeah. Like you'd need to have at least half the team be cards.
Right.
You know what? You need the whole team to be cards.
That
Why not?
Great. Yeah.
Audition the guys too, right? Like not just. Hold on, I got to jot this down. Yeah,
I think it's a really good idea. A reality show where you get a bunch of former Major League Baseball players together to form a softball team and play in a competitive league. That would be fun. And document. I love this.
Yeah.
Listeners, don't tell anybody about this.
Don't steal this idea, you guys. Timestamp this everywhere you can, John.
Yeah.
On the interwebs, on your computers. Keep all these files because this is where it was originated.
So how about the two Pirates minor leaguers, Kevin Newman and Jacob Stallings, both hit for the cycle in the same game a couple days ago?
And then both got the cycle in the same inning.
Oh, did they really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Has that ever happened before?
No, it's got to be the first time. I mean,
once in a
You don't see
eon.
Two cycles in the same game like ever.
No. And that's like one of the most rare things to happen in baseball.
Right.
Even more rare than a perfect game.
I think it is less rare than a perfect game, but more rare than a no-hitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the frequency. Actually, John, I just ran the numbers through my supercomputer, and it goes perfect game, cycle, no-hitter.
Got it. I guess the rarest of the rare would be hitting for the cycle in sequence.
Right, the natural cycle. The natural cycle, as they call it.
Yeah.
Which also sounds like a sex, like a pregnancy thing.
Like a women
right?
thing.
Like a, yeah, like a method. What's the method? The rhythm method.
Right, the rhythm method. The natural cycle.
I feel like if baseball players used the rhythm method, they could get the natural cycle.
Right. Or it sounds like a feminine product. You know, the natural cycle. Brought to you by Massengill.
The latest sponsor for Major League Baseball. Along with Camping World and Biff's Sporting Goods. Okay. Lester's Hardware Stores.
Can't wait to see what they come up with.
Three locations throughout the southern Alabama territories to serve you.
But that's big news, the cycle thing. So it was like even a headline in a couple of different places. So, you know, even though it was minor leagues, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And one of them, Kevin Newman, is kind of like a scrappy little guy, mm-hmm. right? Isn't he like a little shortstop?
Yeah, not a power guy.
Scrapper guy?
Yeah, sure. You're the prospect guy. You're going to know more than I would.
I am that guy, aren't I?
So, you know, here's some sad news from Yankees camp. Ellsbury, so productive this season. has season-ending hip surgery. He has not had a single at-bat this year. He's had several injuries. He's been on the DL more than once, and now he's going on the DL yet again.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
First of all, I'm sure he's not going to make this team any better, right? They could not use him at all. Mm-hmm. But the best part about this for the Yankees is, for insurance, it's better if he doesn't play any games for a whole season. That means they basically recoup something like 75-80% of the contract.
That's true. The insurance side is a big thing.
I mean, it still counts on the you know, the salary cap, the luxury cap. Mm-hmm. But
and he's on for another 3 years?
I think it's 3 more years at 20 million or something.
That's crazy.
Each year, 20 million each year. Just to be clear, not 3 years for 20 million. 20 million each.
Do you think his attitude at this point is like, it is what it is, and I'm just going to be enjoying games from the dugout for $20 million a year? Or do you think he's like, I got to get back in the game. I got to find a way to get, you know. He's got to find some other element to his game because he's a speed guy, and he's not a speed guy anymore.
Right.
That's gone. So what is he going to be, a non-base guy? Is he going to, you know, work on his launch angle and become a home run guy? Because he's hit over 20 home runs before, so it's not like he couldn't do that.
I mean, here's the thing. It would be hard for him, for any human, I think, to give everything they've got to get back to top blah, 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 when he's tried so hard already and failed and gets the $20 million a year no matter what.
Right. It's kind of hard to, like, at some point you just say, like, okay, I'm good. I'm good with it.
Yeah. Like, he would be like one of those, like, nuts. One of those athlete crazy people in a good way, right? Mm-hmm. In a good way, like the obsessed, like I don't ever want to hang him up. I always want to be out there. I don't know if he's that guy. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if he's that guy. I'm glad he's the Yankees problem and not the Red Sox problem, because he was very close. This was very close to being the Red Sox problem.
Yeah, this is one of those things where they look at it and they have to be like, maybe this is our Babe Ruth revenge, maybe.
Right.
Type of thing, because that's a lot of money being spent for one season of productivity. It was a 7-year deal, right?
Yeah. Well, it's timely that if it was the Babe Ruth revenge, that there is a Netflix special called Nanette that's quite popular, even if it is complete trash.
What is it?
Okay, so you know the story behind Babe Ruth was sold to the Yankees for $100,000, right?
Right.
Why was he sold? To fund the owner's wife's musicals.
Oh.
She's a music producer, or a musical producer. And the only musical that she ever did or was involved in that was a success was No No Nanette, which was the musical that the owner funded with the money for Babe Ruth.
I did not know that story.
Yeah. So is it really a curse, John?
The world got No No Nanette from it, so.
Did the Red Sox really miss out on anything? just the greatest player in the history of the game. Whatever. No No Nanette. Anyway, so now there's a Nanette special. It's Hannah Gadsby, Nanette, who is a stand-up comedian of sorts, who has decided that stand-up comedy should not be funny.
Oh, great.
Yes.
I can't wait to see that.
That in this... Oh, you will not wait to see it. It is... It's really unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. And I get, like, you're always, everyone's out there trying to do their own thing. But what's unfortunate is that people are actually like, yeah, this is really how it is now because of Trump. We shouldn't be laughing. Like, I feel like Trump is the gift of laughter.
Yeah, he's gold for comedians. He's gold for night show or late night show hosts.
The funny thing is that he's gold and they turn it into lead. Like, it's like, it's so easy. But the problem is part of what he does is so comical anyway.
Right.
Like, how do you make a joke? The setup is the punchline.
Right.
Like, you can't Donald Trump ran his mouth to blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. So he's doing the skit. Now, I know someone's listening to this going like, no, he's an endangered and he's pushing fascism and racism. And like, yeah, a lot of what he says kind of sounds like that stuff, but it's just Donald Trump,
right.
you know
that,
the guy from Celebrity Apprentice.
You know that he's sitting at home in the morning going, well, I wonder what I could say today that's going to piss these people off.
The sad thing is the amount of people who don't see that, who think that this is some actual constitutional crisis and there's collusion and now the Russians and and it's like, come on, guys, wake up. This is just politics, but just on a much gaudier level.
Well, the fact that on election day he had no expectation of winning, thought he was going to lose, so did Melania,
right.
And that Melania was in tears that night when they won.
Yeah.
Because had no expectation. He was kind of like, wow, really? I'm the president? Geez, what am I supposed to do? I guess I'll just keep doing what I've always done. Well, I don't have to worry about it anymore because I don't live in the States. That's funny.
Coward.
Yeah,
running to hide
the
safety of Mexico.
Oh, no.
John, there is a 50% chance you are going to become a drug mule, all right?
Whether I know it or not.
I don't know if you heard, but Mexico is not sending its best.
There's a lot of bad hombres down here. I have to tell you, though, I've met nothing but nice hombres.
Yeah.
Everybody's polite. Everybody says hello. Everybody goes out of their way to help you. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but it's all good until you go to your first donkey show.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to go out into the jungle and do some ayahuasca next week.
Uh-huh. That's right.
I'm going to wake up with a missing liver.
That's right.
I guess
just half. You
kidney.
Can still use half.
Yeah, kidney. Like, if the liver's gone, so am I. But, yeah, I guess they could take a portion.
Yeah, you could take a good third and really not have any trouble.
So back to baseball.
Yeah, what were we talking about?
We're done with our what's the word?
Hey, speaking
biology.
Of people that that everybody hates, Luke Heimlich.
Yeah.
Well,
how is that possible?
The child molester alleged, well, not alleged, but like accepted a guilty plea, but says he didn't do it. He didn't actually do what they said, but he was accepting it to keep the. To protect the niece from having to go through any more strange, but whatever. He's been all good since. I don't know. It's a weird area, right? Like how long should a person be punished for?
It's like, you know, everybody deserves a second chance. You know,
feel like that's the case.
But look at the president.
In the United States of America. Well, that guy's got like 48 second chances.
Right. You can grab him by the kitty cat and that's okay.
That's true of every president. So let's not pretend like, oh, all of a sudden we've had to change our standards for this president.
Well, it's just the offenses just keep piling up. It's just he's Teflon, you know, the Teflon Don.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not like that didn't happen for Clinton,
No,
a Democrat. Like, everything just kept up. I mean, they murdered people, John.
Oh, okay. Conspiracy theory.
Bill and Hillary murdered people.
Conspiracy theory lover.
I will say, I have some inside dope on those guys being actual garbage people and having people beaten up, but I don't know about murder. Murder seems a bit much, but beaten up, yeah.
I've heard things about what happened in the White House from a person who knows somebody who was on the inside. Said that, Bill and Hillary had separate bedrooms.
Yeah.
And also had separate How could you say that? Tay-a-tays with different people.
Right, but both with the same gender, oddly enough.
Both. Yeah, she apparently swings both ways from what I've heard.
So yeah, just ask Marky Post.
This is a comedy show, by the way, so we can get away with saying anything we want.
Exactly. It's all alleged. Marky Post, in the first 4 years of the White House, the number one visitor to the White House. Marky Post.
Wow.
Gay Marky Post. Number one visitor to the White House. Good looking lady, right?
Mm-hmm. She was.
Kind of a little masculine, handsome woman, right?
Weird.
Number one visitor to the White House.
Number one, yeah.
Yeah.
But the strange thing about that is that from...
Probably just to talk politics.
Allegedly, I heard...
Primetime television.
That this started back in Arkansas and carried all the way into the White House. And staff knew, security knew, Secret Service knew. And it just was, that's the way they roll. Yeah. So obviously when people were all up in arms when, Bill kind of messed up a little bit.
Right.
Spilled some of his personal fluids in the wrong places.
They have a dry cleaner in the White House, John.
But that's why she was stood by her man, because he's like, you kind of put it in the spotlight when you didn't need to.
Yeah.
Keep it in your pants until no one's around.
Yeah. And this is all alleged, of course.
But you can.
I'm just saying, we can't be sitting around going this current president is awful because he's morally bankrupt. I'm like, all right.
But one of the things too is over in Europe, from what I understand, over in England, it's completely acceptable for people to have their flats, in London and their dalliances in London because their personal lives don't cross over into their political lives. So they kind of keep the two separate, especially going back. Centuries, but even current day, there's it's okay. It's no big deal. Yeah. We don't care about what they do in their personal life. We care about what they do in their professional lives. So,
And I think ultimately, I don't really care about what they do in their personal lives. It's just, again, the lying is always the thing. The lying is, if anything's going to bust any of these Trump people, and by the way, I don't think anything is going to bust these Trump people. But, and I have friends who are like, oh no, it's coming. It's coming. I'm like, you've been reading too much internet whack jobs to think that. Remember that lady, was it Louise Mensch, who was like, nope, here's the deal. The marshal of the Supreme Court has issued the indictment. The marshal of the Supreme Court, and people ate it up. Rob Reiner is retweeting this, and they're all going to be convicted all the way. And it's the eighth in line for the presidency is the only one who's not going to be the convicted. So he'll be the new president.
Survivor?
Yeah, this is crazy stuff, and people are eating this up because it's please, anything to get rid of. When does Hillary come in? How can we get Hillary? And remember the articles about how we could still have Hillary as a president if someone makes her the Speaker of the House, and then we impeach Trump and Pence, and then the Speaker of the House is the next in line for the because you don't have to be an actual congressman to be the Speaker of the House.
So everybody listening, just remember that this was episode 75, so that when the House of Cards does collapse, we can reference this episode.
Yes. I'm just saying, people need to enjoy this time.
Right.
It's
going to be boring.
The economy
is
doing
gone.
Really well. I'm not 100% sure I understand what's going on with these tariffs. I feel like this is a weird game for the president to be playing, and it sounds like something that Congress should be controlling. And if anything comes out of this presidency, I think it should be that Congress should take back some of its control that it had sort of relinquished to presidents unnecessarily.
Right. Because there doesn't seem to be any repercussions to anything that he says or does.
Right.
That Congress just reacts to everything. What are we supposed to do?
But I told my friends this when Obama was doing this. I think it's very cool that he passed that. He wrote that executive order. But, if he can do that, then let's say some wacko game show host comes in and is the president. He can do it also,
right?
Including canceling those executive orders.
Right. And he is. Yeah. So that brings us full circle on the Luke Heimlich story.
Right. So nobody in America wants to give Luke Heimlich a second chance. But the Chinese team that plays in Taiwan just signed him.
But what's the deal with the move reportedly being denied?
Well, the league apparently is not going to approve. It sounds like that league will not approve the signing.
Because of his past?
So basically, Yes. So basically, this guy committed a crime, and whether or not he's guilty or actually guilty or innocent, let's just say he committed a crime. He stood guilty for it. He did his time. He paid his punishment, and he will never be allowed to play professional baseball. That's apparently been the determination. It's crazy, right?
He's got to find some place. There's got to be a point where he's allowed to play somewhere.
Ray Lewis, right, Ray Lewis killed a man.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And was able to keep playing. And then they gave him a show as an on-air host.
And he's in the Hall of Fame.
And he's in the Hall of Fame. And not just the Murderers Hall of Fame. The actual National Football League Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and the NFL.
The murderers who got away with it, allegedly.
Yeah.
It's in alleged Ohio.
So I think at some point, I mean, he's a really good pitcher. So yeah. At some point, I think he gets a break somewhere. Someone's going to say, like, you know, his time, he's paid his dues. But hopefully that's not going to be like 5 years down the road, because he won't be in that mode anymore. But he'll find someplace somewhere, some remote corner of the world to keep playing.
I got a really simple solution here. First of all, the guy just says, look, I'm going to give 20% of my paycheck to support blank thing that has to do with this. 20%.
And everybody,
boom.
And all the liberals will scream.
He should not, however, offer to work with children.
Right.
Let the money do the work, friend. Luke, don't offer to be there yourself. Let your money do the work. And then then everyone wins. Like, I mean, for crying out loud, the Astros just traded for Roberto Osuna, who's has yet to stand trial for beating up his girlfriend in a drunken rage.
Right.
But yeah, that's okay. But all right, I'm not even going to say it. This guy, I'm just saying he paid his price.
I agree.
The criminal justice system said, this is the price you must pay. And he paid it. And I think that should be that. Yeah. And he does it again. Then you put him chemically castrate him and put him away forever.
Yeah, I agree. So speaking of being put away forever.
Ooh,
a White Sox employee was wrongfully imprisoned for 23 years.
Oof.
Gets out, and for his time, he gets a World Series watch from the White Sox.
Right. Now, it sounds...
That sounds a little flip, but...
When you say it like that, John... Obviously,
everything's better, right? He's like, I got my watch.
That's not all that happened for him. He also got his freedom, John.
Why didn't he get a World
Series? Oh, because they gave all the ground crew got watches.
Okay.
And so he would have probably still been on the grounds crew when they won the World Series 15 years ago, or whatever it was, 14 years ago. So Jerry Reinsdorf, or whoever it is that who it is, Jerry Reinsdorf?
Yeah,
he was just pulling the bulls.
Yeah,
I don't know who it is. Anyway, he decided that they would give him a watch. And they had a nice ceremony for him. And it was more symbolic than actually just the watch, right? At least this guy's got – hopefully this guy's going to get like a movie deal and a if he's not suing the state for wrongful imprisonment. Mm-hmm. I mean, him and this other guy were railroaded, right? And they did that coerced confession thing, right?
So they had a gun to their head and they said they did it?
Well, I don't know about gun to their head, but you know, you break people down. People can be broken.
Mm-hmm.
They broke them down and they falsely confessed, and there were inaccuracies in the confessions, of course, but that didn't matter because they got their guy. And then it turns out the DNA evidence shows that there's no.
And it took them 23 years to figure this out.
23 years.
Jeez.
I mean, that's a whole cottage industry, right? The whole cold cases, not cold cases, but like questionable cases that are being. You know, checking for DNA now that we have the technology. It's not as simple as they show on TV. It's a much more complicated process than just like, oh, look, we found another piece of DNA. He's innocent. Because they have to retry the case, right? They can't just say. Anyway, so then him and his buddy got out. And, of course, then they went out and raped a couple people. But whatever. I'm sorry. This is the darkest episode started off weird and gross, and it's gotten dark. And I apologize to everyone. Please stay till the end.
Right. There's great things happening coming soon.
Not really.
Okay.
And now it's all built up. It's not going to be good.
Right. Last headline for this week, Oliver Drake, who I have no idea who he is and who he's playing for, but he becomes the first MLB player in the pros.
Well, in professional baseball.
Okay, so he's in a minor league system.
Right? He's in the minor leagues, okay. Yes.
First player to pitch for five different teams in a single season.
Right. So he hasn't pitched for five different major league teams. Right?
Right.
But he is an MLB player, and he's been traded four times this season.
That's crazy.
And I think cut once. And anyway, yeah, so it's quite an accomplishment for Oliver Drake.
Yeah.
It makes me think he might not be a very good player.
Right. He's getting juice as a result of this. We're talking about Oliver Drake.
Yeah.
He's making
headlines.
We're
talking about Luke Heimlich. Right. So Oliver Drake, Luke Heimlich hit the road as a softball combo. We tape the whole thing.
With Jason
keep
Worth.
Keep away from the children. Jason Worth is there. He's the manager slash player. And all he does is gripe about his agent and all the $150 million that he has. He's like, God, isn't this awful, guys? And Luke Heimlich's like, man, I'm making $20 a week.
And then Billy Butler comes into the scene. Wasn't his nickname like barbecue sauce or something like that?
Oh, that would be fantastic. Barbecue.
Yeah, that would be. I see this.
Yeah.
I really do.
This is a great show.
It is going to be.
Maybe we leave Luke Heimlich out of it.
Yeah,
just so that they we can play with kids around.
Right. Yeah, so they'd have to have like a, you know, ban people from kids from 500 yards around the softball field.
Sorry, kids, you're not allowed near the dugout.
Stay away. Luke's here. Okay.
This is awful. What else is there?
Starting nine.
Oh, okay. This is better.
Okay. So, yeah, speaking of dark things, Slender Man comes out this weekend.
Yeah.
Kind of spooky, kind of weird, kind of conspiracy theory, mythical creature thing.
Right. And then also, I don't want to say spurred, but was the source of the Slender Man murders, where the two teenage girls murdered their friend because they were trying to appease the Slender Man, which is a made-up fictional thing that they...
Or is it?
Or is it, John?
The Mothman.
In a world.
Yeah, it looks like an interesting movie.
Yeah.
Got that little bit of the creep factor going there.
Yeah.
So we got nine players with movie monster names. Let's go.
Right, and these are all going to be human / humanoid monsters.
Okay.
Not like Godzilla, otherwise, or like the Xenomorph from... And none of them are general. Well, you know what? One of them is a general. But just because I was like, well, anyway, whatever. Here we go. First off, Slenderman Marquez.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That'll work.
Slenderman, right up front. Right there. German Marquez.
Good.
Zach the Baba Duke. Zach Duke.
Very good.
Ryan Brondlefly.
That's good.
Ryan Braun, Brundlefly from The Fly.
Got it.
Because Jeff Goldblum's character became Brundlefly.
Brundlefly.
All right. This is the one that's, we don't have an actual name, but whatever. I got lazy or whatever. Martin Prodotor.
That's good. That's okay. I like it.
Yeah. Predator. I don't know. There's a lot of predators, right?
Right.
There's a lot of predators in the world.
Right. Luke Heimlich.
Heimlich. And apparently Billy Butler when it comes to barbecue.
Right. There you go.
Trying to keep it light. All right. Next is Corey Freddy Krueger.
Good.
All right.
Freddy Krueger.
Hunter Pennywise.
That's
right?
Good, yeah.
From It, mm-hmm. Pennywise, from mm-hmm. It. Heimer Candelario Man.
Okay.
Candyman.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say his name three times in the mirror, John.
Okay. Well, I'm close,
or you will have to stand and look at yourself looking like a dork for having said it three times in the mirror. All right. Jason Trevor Storhees.
What's that from? Oh, Jason Voorhees.
Voorhees.
Yeah. Okay.
Trevor Story.
Friday the 13th.
Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
Yes. Friday the 13th. Exactly. Glaber the Terminatores.
There you go. That's good.
And last but not least, he whose name we shall not speak, Charlie Voldemorton.
Those are good.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I when I first saw that, I'm like, that might be a tough one. But yeah, yeah. You pulled it off.
I mean, really, the tough part is coming up with like 9 or 10 like names, right?
And you did it with more modern characters too.
I tried to keep it. I tried to keep it modernish. Like Wolfman, you know, for the kids, or,
you know, the mummy, yeah. Or you know,
Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good stuff.
Thanks.
Well, since we're skipping around the horn this week because you got to get on the on a jet plane in a few hours.
That's right. I'm leaving on a jet plane, as I say.
Yeah. So we're going to move right into extra innings.
Yeah, let's do it.
Taking a look outside the world of baseball. So here, first up, we got NCAA announcing new college basketball policies, which one of includes allowing player agents. But apparently the big story here is that the NBA knew nothing about this.
Is that right? Yeah, I missed that part of the story.
What? Huh? They were completely caught off unaware of this. And even some of the coaches apparently were, too. They were kind of like, whoa, what is this? It changes the face of the game, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing. They're allowed agents, but like in certain circumstances, and they sort of have to disavow or cut if they're going to go back to school.
That opens the gate to so much riffraff. You know, I don't see this.
But they have to be accredited agents with the college and with the university, NCAA. And I don't know. It's such a weird, the NCAA's rules and stuff. And like, oh, it's like, oh, because it used to be if you had contact with an agent, like, boom, you're suspended for a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, well, you can have contact with an agent before you go to school. And then you can have contact with an agent after you're done with each season.
But not during the season.
Like,
that makes no sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why not just accredit the agents and like let the person have an agent?
Yeah, because
like,
how are they going to monitor this? Now that they've opened that door, how are they going to monitor who's talking to who and when they're talking to them?
Yeah. This is the problem with bureaucracies, which the NCAA has become.
It's going to create more jobs.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's...
That's positive.
In Trump's America, man.
There you go.
Unemployment continues to drop.
And I'll guarantee you there'll be a tweet this afternoon saying that Trump taking credit for it. This was my idea.
Probably. this is no witch hunt.
No, we'll see.
This was a good idea.
This one plays out over the course of this season. That'll be an interesting one to watch and see if it creates more problems versus solving the ones that already exist. So we'll see. This is probably one of my favorite stories in the entertainment world this year, because it's created such a uproar from people in the film industry. So the Motion Arts and what the heck is the name of it?
Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Yeah, there we go. Decided to add a new category,
right?
Which is Best Popular Film. So just having Best and Popular right next to each other is kind of weird.
Yes.
Because the most popular film really rarely is also the best film. That's on a rare occasion that those two come together.
Right.
But hardcore fans and hardcore artists have responded negatively to this.
Yes.
It's been a backlash.
Because there's already shows that cover this stuff. There's the Golden Globes, and there's the
People's Choice Awards.
There's the People's Choice Awards, and there's the MTV Movie Awards. Right. And like... This just degrades the thing. However, follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Who is running the Oscars? ABC. Who owns ABC? Disney. Whose movies stand to gain by a best popular film category? Right. Disney. Right. Boom, bang, bow.
The Marvels. So, but I think part of it too, the one part that does make sense is that the audiences have been declining, especially in the younger age brackets. So their whole thing is that let's bring in the popular film because the popular films are attended by the younger generation. So makes a little bit of sense there. But one of the things they also...
I think that sounds like the horseshit reason that suits give for making it so that Disney can give an Oscar to a film that will then increase its revenues. What was the movie they were doing this with? It was like at 90, 95 million, 96 million... And then it was making like, I don't know, $300 a theater.
Oh, it just was recently.
And then,
had a huge weekend.
Of a sudden, two huge weekends got it up over $100 million.
Well,
it was that one with Oprah, the time travel one.
Well,
or whatever.
Also with Black Panther. Black Panther had a huge surge to get over $700 million.
Yeah.
To reach that milestone. Yeah. So,
like, it's all about money. Like, here's the thing. There's a documentary, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's a documentary about casting in films.
Mm-hmm. Now I know the one.
If
you
watch
about.
This, the most important thing you learn from this film, besides how awesome casting can be, which it is really an incredible process, is that in the 90s, when corporations took over the studios, they stopped caring about whether the best actors were in the film, and they just cared about whether the most profitable actors mm-hmm. were in the films. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see so many movies starting in the 90s where it's like, why are these people have no chemistry. These are not good mm-hmm. actors. And like, and I won't name names because I may have to work with them at some point in the future, but it's a lot of people were being hired because, well, they have people know this name. And so, but that was in the mid 90s. And so you'll see, like, it's all just about profit. And it's about shareholders. And that's what this is. This is just about profit. And it's like, look, if you want people to watch your show, your Oscars, A, make it funny, which is not that hard. I know the people that they're hiring for these shows, most of them are not really that funny, mm-hmm. but they, you know, like, you have to make it shorter.
That's on the docket.
And that's on the docket too. Yeah. That's a good thing. But you have to make the show itself more interesting, and they're going to not air some of the awards. That's fine. But, like, let's cut down on the schmaltzy stuff.
Right. That, to me, take that away. I would rather see the technical award people get up there because that's their moment in the sun.
Yeah.
Let them, you know, be on stage and as opposed to editing all those clips and having brief updates, you know, in a segment towards the end of the show. I would rather have them cut all the performance stuff.
Right.
That doesn't matter to me. I don't need to see people singing. I don't need to see a big, you know, scenes played out from the musical. I mean, I don't care about that. I care more about, you know, the award winners. I see this as a recognition for work well done and recognition within the industry. So not everybody does. You know, people do want to be entertained, but I see it as, you know, it's an opportunity for the little guys, too, to get their due. Some of the best moments in Oscar history are when the little guys win.
Right.
And their speeches are awesome. As opposed to Meryl Streep getting up there for the, you know, the 90th time and talking about whether it's a, you know, in, like, every year she's on 5 or 6 different award shows and wins at least 1 or 2 different awards, you know, so we have to hear Meryl over and over and over again.
But she's a great actress.
Yeah, she is. She's good. I'm not taking anything away from her, but I like the energy of some of the little films, the documentary films and the short films. These people, you know, jumping up and down, or Roberto Benigni, you know, climbing over people and chairs. That was awesome. Memorable moments.
I thought it was inappropriate when he took his pants off.
So we'll see what, I mean, this is going to line up perfectly for in 2020 for the next part two of Avengers. So that will sweep that award, I'm assuming. So Disney will be first in line probably to get the award. But I guess that's going to be in this year, right?
Yeah.
For the next one. But they're also moving up the date of the show from it used to be in March, and then they moved it up a little bit then they moved it up a lot, and then they moved it back. So now they're moving it to early February in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah, exciting.
Wait, 2020?
Yeah, not next year, but 2020. Oh, okay. 2 years. So now we've got the last item on our list. We've got 5 people were charged with trafficking 385,000 pairs of fake Nike Air Jordans at a worth of $73 million.
Yes,
that's some serious knockoff action going on there.
Look, these guys were like the Michael Jordan of trafficking Nike Air Jordans.
They should be in the Hall of Fame. What's coming up next?
Take a deep look at fantasy baseball moves to make down the stretch to help you win your league on the next episode of This Is a Giant Waste of Time.